I invite you to open your Bible in Luke chapter 8, verses 40. We're not going to read all the way to verse 56, but it's from Luke chapter 8, verse 40. This story, it's recorded in all the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You all know it. You know it more than I do. The lady, Trisha, you're going to... The lady who has hemorrhage. My English teacher is Trisha. She helps me. She walks with me. She talks with me. She teaches me English. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Just so I check, I know. Does everyone know this story? The lady who touched Jesus' cloak and she was instantaneously healed? Quick nod. We all know, right? Okay, good. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Just then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantaneously healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Here we start. We stop. Lord, we pray guidance as we're going to walk through your word. And it's a story that we all know. And we don't want to know anything new. We want to know the old truth that you have forgiveness and healing for all of us. Open our eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before we start, I will need help for this sermon. Sometimes this sermon spoke too much with me this week, church, to the point that there was one night or two nights that I did not sleep. You're going to understand on the way, okay? And so I need help, because when our emotions are too high, our brain goes everywhere. So, Trisha, you're going to be my help, okay? When point number two comes, just wave at me. Don't let me go from point number two to three without a question, okay? I need to ask a question. And don't let me go to point number three to conclusion without another question, okay? All you need to say is remember your question in point two and in point three. That's okay for everybody? That I need a helper? Okay, good. First, let us just see quickly context so we understand why the title of the sermon is Her Faith is Mind-Blowing, okay? Mark chapter 5, we did not read it, but it's the same story. Mark gave us an important information. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I maybe will be healed. Is that what she says? No. All in. If I win, I win. If I lose, I lose everything. Is that what she says? She will be healed. She knew it, okay? That's how great her faith is. Then now context, we need to go to Leviticus, church. Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25. This applies pretty much to leprous people and to blood discharge, okay? God is so good. He doesn't want contamination to everybody. So when someone gets sick, he gives a personal day. Good boss. Stay at home. Protect everybody. Okay? So lepers and blood, pay attention to Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25. When a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has the discharge, just as in the days of her period. She cannot go to crowds. She cannot touch anyone. Okay? Keep that in mind. Point number one of this sermon, it's easy, very easy, and it's why we love this lady. Saving faith. It's just an individual situation. The lady, blood is coming out of her. She spent all her money. She went to the doctor. She tried everything. Nothing works. Jesus is in town. Jesus has the healing. Individual. I will defile my quarantine. I don't care if I can't go out of my house. I don't care if I need to touch people. I will do whatever it takes. I will touch Jesus. I want my healing. Okay? Individual, personal decision, and the decision that we all can relate. Sin bleeds inside of us. More than 12 years. Sin bloods in me 31 years. For some of you, sin has bled more than 31 years. We all have a problem, sin. Sin is killing us. Money can't save us. Society can't save us. Doctors can't save us. Religion, a system of rules, cannot save us. Only one person can save us, God Himself. Jesus Christ. We all need to touch Him. We all need to be brave like this lady. We don't care what others think about us. I know I have a sin. I know I need a Savior. I know I am dying. I'm touching Jesus. And in the moment that you touch Him by faith, He saves you. He forgives you. He heals you. And He calls you son, and He calls you daughter. We all agree with that. That's our individual responsibility. And that's why we love this lady, because she's the picture of all of us. Praise God. So if you haven't had a decision for Christ, make your decision today. Make your decision now. Don't even wait the sermon to finish. Make it now, because sin is bleeding and killing us little by little. Touch Jesus. Amen. Let us move to point number two. Now this sermon starts to make me not sleep during the night. Okay? When we put ourselves, church, on her shoes, sorry, when we put ourselves on our shoes, just like she is in her shoes, this story makes a lot of sense. I need a Savior. I'm touching the Savior. I don't care about anyone. Simple like that. Now it gets tricky, church, because the multitude, it's involved in the sermon. It's involved in the story, okay? Why is her faith mind-blowing, church? I have labeled this sermon mind-blowing faith because it blows my mind. Do you remember, church, that Jesus already healed a leprous man? Do you remember that he did the Sermon on the Mount? When he's coming down from the sermon, he sees someone, the leprous man. And the leprous man, how did he... You need to understand this, okay? We usually think that the leprous man, the blood lady, is the same attitude. No, it's different. The leprous man, he did not touch the crowd. Every time he's coming, he needs to be as loud as the pastor. Do you know your pastor is loud? Yes or yes? Very loud. The leprous man, he is loud. Get out. Get out. I am leprous. I am contagious. Get out. He comes and he stops in front of Jesus. From one side, yes, he's breaking his quarantine. From another side, he's not. Everybody's making the way for him. And when he's in front of Jesus, he doesn't touch Jesus. Very humbly, what does he do? If you want, you can heal me. Do you remember that? Jesus is the one who touches him. He did not ask to be touched. He just wants a healing, but Jesus touches him. We understand that, church, because Jesus is God. Jesus writes the law, leprous men, blood people, you cannot contact. I can, I touch. The leprous man is respecting this. He wants the healing and he doesn't want to break the law. I know my boundaries. I know what the law says. I just want my healing. How about the lady? The law tells her, don't touch people. What does she do? She touches everyone. The law tells her, don't touch anyone. And she goes and touches the cloak of Jesus. She is breaking the law. The leprous man, I cannot. She is, I am doing it. I want my healing. Does that blow your mind or not? Because what blows my mind is that Jesus looks at her and say, daughter, your faith has saved you. That's what blows my mind. That's not what a pastor should say. Tell, as a pastor, go and break the law and God is going to say, your faith has saved you. Do you want to hear that from your pastor? You can't hear that from the pastor. But that's what it's happening. And may I add to the equation? If that blows your mind, the next one is going to blow your mind anymore. There is a social issue. And you only understand this social issue because you are in Canada, in North America, and because the president of the South is Donald Trump. From a Brazilian perspective, you don't understand the social issue. This lady, she is illegal. Everybody in the crowd has a status. Everybody in the crowd can touch each other. Not her. She's sneaking. She is not just a lawbreaker. She is illegal in the crowd. If Donald Trump knows she is in the crowd, what's going to happen? Oh, man. But that's not just Donald Trump. Pay attention how the issue is big, church. If liberals know she is in the house, health care for everybody. You see? Health care for everybody. Do you understand how big this issue is? And we are not talking about policies. We are talking about the Bible, the real law. Do you understand how big of a faith and paradoxical and mind-blowing this is all? I think now it's your time, Tricia. Okay, so I'm going to read my questions. First question, church. How do you feel that the illegal and lawbreaker got the blessing, but the crowd, legal, touch Jesus, did not get the blessing? How do you feel about that? And second, and this is the real question. Would you usher this lady to Jesus if you knew she is illegal? If you knew she would break the law by touching the Lord, would you, the multitude is there, right? Would you stop her? Or would you usher her? Tough question, eh? Don't answer. Don't answer, church. Because it doesn't matter what you're going to answer me. I have facts to prove you that most likely we wouldn't help her. Okay? I have facts. This is what happened to me this Monday, church. I was going to Toronto in the GO train. GO train has two levels. Level above, level below. And there is the emergency brakes. If you press it, there is a siren. Somebody's going to come to help you. The siren in my train went off. My first thought it is somebody's sick, maybe a stroke, something more healthy issues. And guess where I am? Am I in the low spot or I'm in the upper spot? I'm in the upper because it's called the quiet zone. How paradoxical. The guy who speaks the most, it's in the quiet zone. That's a testing for my faith, right? And I am in my own world, listening my music, trying to take a nap. And I heard it. And I, curious, I looked. And it wasn't a stroke. It wasn't a health emergency. All I could see, church, probably like I'm seeing the door there, it was the moment this guy is punching the other on the face. And it's not a fight. You know it's a victim who doesn't even know why he's getting punched, and a crazy guy punching because he's crazy. And I was like, whoa, am I in Brazil? That was the first question I asked. Church, why am I saying to you, it doesn't matter what you're going to tell me. I most likely know we wouldn't help this lady. Guess how many people helped the guy who got punched? Zero or minus one. People were around the man and they left. Not even give a water to the guy who got punched. So it doesn't matter what you're going to tell me. I probably know the answer. And that's what is mind-blowing about this sermon. Is that we became such a political, correct, moralistic, opinionated kind of society that we have an opinion about everyone. Trump invites Putin, he should not do that. Carney invites the Indian prime minister, he shouldn't do this. Israel defend themselves, he shouldn't do this. Hamas attack, he shouldn't do this. We have an opinion about everything and everyone. And by far, we would look a lady like this and we would blind the eye that she has Jesus in front of her, giving her healing, and we open our eyes. You are illegal, you're supposed not to be here. Most likely, we would do that. That's why her faith is mind-blowing. And that's why those questions really hurts us. Say amen if you're understanding it. The third point of this sermon, it is, Tricia, not now, but you know your job. Church, the question, it's not if she legally can be in the crowd. The question is not if she legally can touch Jesus. Pay attention. What does religion tells you? Religion, it's like this. I'm reading the Bible, okay? Jesus is in front of me. I want to touch him, but I am not perfect. So wait, I'm going to be perfect. The healing is in front of me, but I can't touch it. I need to heal myself. And once I healed myself, now I can touch him. That's what religion does when we are reading a story like this, ladies. But religion is not the only mistake. Second mistake, it is self-righteousness, church. It is, you are unclean, lady, you cannot touch him. I am clean, I can touch Jesus. And in my self-righteousness, I think I can touch Jesus, and she can't. That's dangerous. Because the text shows us that everybody pressed Jesus, but no one touched him, only her. Third reading, it is the judgmental reading. And church, it is very, very hard to be a pastor. Because I can go to the mistake of reading this book and believing that I am the judge. Lady, you're unclean. You can't touch Jesus. Get out of here. You're wrong. You're a sinner. Get out. Don't touch Jesus. Everybody here can touch him. You can't. When we are in a position of being a pastor, and our job it is that we don't become like the world. Everybody's allowed, you can do whatever you want, blah, 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 those kind of, that's my job. But in doing so, I really need to pay attention that I don't think I am the judge. That I don't think I'm better than them. That I don't think and fall to the temptation that I am clean. I can touch Jesus. You can't. Get out of him. Go away.
And it's dangerous, church, because talk to any person who is not a churchgoer, or talk to any person who has left the church, 80% of the time they're going to say something along these lines: I felt the church wasn't my place. I felt I was unclean. I felt I was dirty. I felt God and the people are too good, too holy, and I didn't fit in. I know that because that was me. By the age of 16, I left the church. I only came back on the age of 20. Why? By 16, I felt I was too dirty. I can't touch Jesus. And everybody around me seems to show that you can't, and I can. I'm better than you, Gustavo. And by the age of 20, thanks to Jesus, he brought me home. And all I knew is it was, I am not clean. I can't touch him. But I'm touching. You see how dangerous this is, church? Now the question, the question is not if she can't touch the Jesus and the crowd can. That's not the question, church. The question is, do you feel that the crowd has the legal authority right to touch Jesus? Do you think so? The lady can't because she has a blood issue and the Bible says she can't touch Jesus. How about the crowd? Do you think they can't touch Jesus? If you say yes, we have a problem. Because no. The answer is no. No one can touch Jesus. It's when we put ourselves to her shoes again that this sermon makes sense like it was in the beginning. Remember, we love her. Remember, we know her story. Remember, the first point is so easy to understand. Now, we put ourselves back, not to her shoes. We put ourselves back to our own shoes. I can't touch Jesus. No matter if it's I'm legal and she's illegal, it doesn't matter. I also can't touch him. But he wants to be touched. But he wants to be touched, church. All the questions fall, church, when you look to the text and you see that the king is walking among the people. If the king didn't want to be touched, he wouldn't be walking among the people. You know kings, security, you know big people. You needed to protocol to talk to them. Not to this king. This king, he comes to you. This king comes to the multitude. And all the questions, it's shaded. He's in front of us. Just touch him. And again, this is not theory, church. This is reality. I told you that nobody came to help that man. There was one. There was one. I came down with the least information. I came down for the man. I didn't know if the guy aggressor would come back. I didn't know if he had a knife. I didn't know if he had more people in the train. The only thing I know is that my mom would kill me. In moments like that, church, who cares? How can I sleep in my bed knowing that one man's being punched and I didn't do anything? How can this lady sleep at night knowing that healing was in front of her and she didn't touch him? How can the crowd sleep at night knowing that they never touched Jesus and Jesus was in front of them? Our reading of the Bible, church, always need to bring us to touch Jesus. And always need to bring others to touch Jesus. If when we read the Bible, we are not touching him. If when we preach Jesus, we are not bringing people to touch him. Something is wrong, and no, it's not the Bible. No, it's not Jesus. It's my understanding of it that really needs to be fixed. Do you understand it? Amen. Conclusion. Our screens don't help anybody, but that's supposed to be a picture of the lady. Can you see? Okay, good. Church, I'm trying so hard to show you that all of us are in the same boat. We need to touch Jesus, okay? And now that you saw her picture, can you bring the fear of the Lord? How do we know, church? You can take everything I said and understand it wrongly. Oh, the pastor is telling you can do whatever you want and Jesus is still going to call you righteous. No, no. The fear of the Lord, church. The lady, if you pay attention to the picture, she doesn't want to touch Jesus. She knows that in front of her, the King of Kings is there. Even afraid to touch. Just the cloak. This is what we are aiming for, church. It's the fear of the Lord. We believers, we are the only ones who can call God our King. King, our Father. All of us, just us. And somehow, this is the fear of the Lord. I'm not going to go against him just because I'm his father. Never. I fear him. He is my father and he is the king. He is the king and he is my father. With the funeral on Friday, if you really want to know what is the fear of the Lord in one picture, it is, raise your hand if you have grandkids. How many of you were more hard to your kids and very nice to your grandkids? Raise your hand. That's the fear of the Lord. You see, these two dwell together nicely. That's the fear of the Lord. That's what she had. That's what we need to have. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, may we be the ones who bring people closer to you, because we know we also need to be closer to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.